The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline on Oregon. Mario Cristobal has left the program. What does it mean for the Pac-12? Who's next? What about Arizona State and how this impacts them and the University of Arizona? The bowl games all being set. Who's going to go to which bowl game and which one impacts the conference the most? Arizona State's in a good bowl game. They are. I was at their – we had a table last night. Tim Hovick over at Santan Ford said, take my table. So we went. We had a good time. And we will get into that because Claudia and cake, they go together. They kind of rhyme. Bryce Drew is going to be with us today because this week – is Arizona State against Grand Canyon University in local basketball. We are all about that. We are all about this Thursday night. This is something that I would love to see happen every single year, and credit Bobby Hurley and Bryce Drew for working together and making it happen, in particular Bobby for Arizona State. They don't have to do this, and it's good that they're doing it. It's good for the community. It is, and with ASU Hoops winning last night, at Oregon, that even adds to it. GCU is off to a good start. So Coach Drew will be with us. That comes up at about 10:35. We are heading to Las Vegas after this show is complete. We will be part of the National Football Foundation awards shows up there at the Aria. I'm going to head up there with Chris Peterson from our team. We'll be in Vegas doing some content and some show stuff for next week on the Football AZ show. We will have our NFF AZ all senior team that we will unveil, the top seniors, one at each position on our high school platform. That's coming up. So busy week in front of us. And then the championship games are this Friday and Saturday, and then the Cardinals next Monday night. So a lot going on. Suns play tonight too. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. So I'm sitting here in my man cave yesterday watching the Cardinals go about their business. And yes, when you put Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins back out on the field, even if it's rainy, even if it's nasty, even if it is football weather, we all like to see. If you didn't like watching yesterday, then you just don't like football. You know, we don't need artificial turf. I would love it if there were stadiums that said, okay, let's just make rain happen. Let's just fire off water cannons while the game is going on. Give me that. Give me the slow-mo, high-def cameras of water droplets coming down off the face of Andy Dalton as he throws another pass that is tipped up in the air by one of his receivers and is picked off. Felt bad for Andy Dalton yesterday. Yeah, I really did. That guy got his head kicked in. The Cardinals just pounded him into submission, and there was a late touchdown scored. So the final score, you look at it and say, well, it was only 11-point difference. No, this game was pretty much over the moment that DeAndre Hopkins scored and pointed at Jerome Boger and said, that's a touchdown, right, Jerome? And Jerome said, yes, it is. The guy right in front of DeAndre Hopkins missed it. It's amazing how that happens. And here's the thing. They're 7-0 on the road. 7-0. Who had that at the start of the season? And they're a 7-0 in a way that it feels like most every game, they're taking care of business and the game is put away. Like, they are truly blowing through teams in the NFL. Now, there's not many great teams, but they are blowing through them. Like, I'm looking at next Monday night already, and it's the Rams here Monday night. Rams need to close the gap. Cardinals smacked them around earlier this season. But look, there's just too many ways for this team right now, there's too many ways for this team to go beat down the opposition. If you're going to try to take away the running game, you're going to try to take away DeAndre Hopkins, you can all go down the number of ways they find balls to get to Rondell Moore or Zach Ertz or Christian Kirk, A.J. Green. I mean, there's just too many guys. So if you're a fan of the Cardinals, you should feel very, very good about where they are. If you look at the NFC and you see Tampa Bay and their jack-stomping teams, and Green Bay is up there, but beyond that, and somebody sent me a note about, oh, it's so great. They show that they could play out in the weather. I don't know. Have you seen their record? They're not going to have to play out in the elements. They're not in the playoffs. The way it's going, that's not going to mean anything this year. So you can't help but be overly impressed. And yeah, there's some fun along the way. Cliff Kingsbury takes one in the lip. Defensively, I just love for what Chandler Jones went through with his contract this last offseason, how Jordan Hicks was said, yeah, you're not going to play. And so there's guys that are just moving forward, and every week they're making things happen out on the field. And that's it. This is not that hard. We don't need to parse it that way. This is the best team in the NFL. And I don't care what a guy on a morning show says. I don't care what a power ranking says. I don't care. I don't know why people get, I'm so offended. Just move on. Life's too short. Life's too short to be offended about. Your team's not ranked on a poll. Come on. So it was fun to watch yesterday. It really was. The Suns game on Friday night, the streak came to an end, and you knew that it would come to an end. You didn't like the way it crashed down if you're a fan of the team. I just felt like Steph Curry was not going to be held down, and they're going to get Klay Thompson back. And if Devin Booker plays on Christmas Day, great. If he doesn't play on Christmas Day, it's fine. There's no reason to push panic buttons. It'll be easy headlines. Oh, my gosh, is Devin Booker going to be able to play or not? Oh, my gosh, it's December. Get back to me around. The teams that get it figured out, it's late March, early April. They start ramping it up. They've got 10 to 15 games, play together as a group, figure out rotations, see where guys are. This team's going to go deep into May, deep into June. That's that. I watched the other night, Mikal Bridges' injury was the biggest concern. Win streaks come and go. This team's going to rattle off more of them. But San Antonio's getting better. San Antonio, and there's a thing about the Suns and Spurs, for those of us that have been here longer than a nanosecond, that they don't like San Antonio. I have a lot of respect for what Greg Popovich does. Some people in the Suns organization hate him. I don't. I think it's admirable to have a run in a small market like San Antonio and gamesmanship and all that stuff. So I don't sit here and say, oh, man, I hate that guy. Really? They're bouncing back. They beat the Warriors, and the Warriors had a back-to-back when the Spurs beat them. Spurs have won four in a row. Suns, Spurs, that is tonight in downtown. Last night, we had a table at the Arizona State Football Banquet. And I have emceed that event. I have gone as a fan to that event. I have sat at a table with Herm Edwards at that event. Last night, we had a fun table. Man, we had a fun table. And it was just a bunch of us from Sports 360 AZ and one of my mentors. And it was good to see people. I think people, just because of COVID, not being out in that environment where you're dressed up, you're in a nice ballroom. They didn't have a banquet last year. There was just a vibe last night that was fun. Like Claudia I'm going to pick on Claudia Collins for a minute because I like her. And I like Spurge too, but he was no fun to pick on. Claudia last night, because she's a goof, is so into what's going on stage. We had a couple of empty seats. And so with those couple of empty seats, they already put the dessert out. So me being me, it's, okay, grab all the desserts and just slide them over. And Claudia's husband, I like him. Roman's got it figured out. We stacked pies, not literally. We just put all these plates in front of Claudia, and she didn't even see it happening. They're all this cake. And she had this goofy look on her face, like, okay, what do I do here? And it was very fun last night. It was nice to see the awards. It was, Herm got up and he said, at these events, they show a highlight video. And it's pretty easy if you're in my position to say, well, why didn't they include any highlights of the Utah? Oh, that's right. Why didn't they include any highlights in the Washington? That's right. Why didn't they include any? And it's, where were the BYU highlights? But that's not what it's about. This is about, getting the base fired up. And trust me, I'm going to talk to John Wilner about this. The base for Arizona State better be fired up, because the amount of money that Oregon is going to throw at a coach is going to make what ASU is paying Herm or the next coach pale in comparison. So there's going to be a trickle-down effect. We're also having fun because, we're neutral. How is it that U of A can even do football banquets? How can that even happen? What do you show? I mean, you have the one game and Cal doesn't, because they use like the announcer's voice and they use dramatic music and it's dun dun and the Wildcats take the field. against the Bears, who are without their quarterback and like half their team because of COVID. And the Cats win, and the Cats win. You know, how do you do that? Highlight videos are always fun. It doesn't matter if the team stinks. Highlight videos are put together to say, oh man, we are awesome. We are amazing. You need to write checks to us. That's what it's about. Nobody wants to go to an event and be told the truth. They don't, because they don't think the team stinks. They're fine with 8-4. Like, I think going against Wisconsin and Las Vegas is a really good bowl. I do. I don't know who's going to carry the football. If Nagata's able to carry the football, Trainum's gone. White's not going to play. It's Big Ten football. Wisconsin is going to bring most of Wisconsin to this game. Like, Vegas is going to have a lot of red. And I loved Herm last night. There's some things about Herm that I find really cool. When he's able to just have self-effacing humor and stand up on stage and be like, we really need you to come because we don't want it to be all red. How can you not laugh at that? It's funny. That's good. GCU ASU in basketball this Thursday night. All I can say is be there. It's one of those events. If you're a basketball fan, if you're a hoopaholic, if you say you're into community and basketball and you don't even have a rooting interest, you just need to go. Support this. Sell out the arena. Sell out Desert Financial Arena. Go to ASU. Doesn't matter if you like ASU or GCU or you don't like either one of them. They're not your team. This is one of those events you should go support. Saturday night, I went to see, because I'm a dummy, Saturday night, I went to Chandler Liberty. It was Saturday afternoon because I'm a dope. I left early. I teach in classes, never leave sporting events early. I broke what I teach. It's like, I don't know, 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, and this game's over. Chandler's going to lose. We've got Spurge there and Evan Orschwitz is there. I'm out. I got to get to Hamilton. I got to get over to Jordy and Claudia because that's the other game. And it started at 6, so I left. And Chandler puts together one of the greatest comebacks of comebacks. And they win in overtime, and I missed it because I'm a dope. I saw the quarterback, Devin Dampier, over at Saguaro, and he might be the next. He might be. The next is the one that you look at and you say, I remember watching him in high school, and now I see him not even playing on Saturdays, but playing on Sundays. This kid was, oh my gosh. That was a great game, too. Just a great game. So nothing better than a Friday night, Saturday night of high school, Saturdays of college football, and Sundays of the NFL, and we have that this weekend. All right, Wilner is next. Mario Cristobal, the last that I checked, was going to inform his team that he was leaving Wilner Hotline. We'll have the latest on that. And if he goes, who's next? What does he think about ASU and Wisconsin? And then after John Wilner, Bryce Drew, head coach at Grand Canyon University, the Lopes, taking on ASU this Thursday night. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever, thanks to DraftKings. All right, as promised, John Wilner knows all, tells all. The Wilner hotline, his hotline has been like a bat phone in the last 24 hours with Oregon, Oregon, Oregon. And to nobody's surprise now, we have 30 coaches that have come and gone, and now Oregon is open. Are you hearing that this is official, official, official? Are we still in the, well, maybe sort of, kind of?
No, it's official. He, Cristobal, told the team about a half hour, 45 minutes ago, actually. So a lot of speculation as to exactly how long this has been going on, but I think it's been many weeks. Oregon put a huge contract extension on the table late last week. We're talking about like close to $85, $90 million over 10 years. which actually fits with what we've seen for high level coaches lately. It's bananas. And it's all because of Mel Tucker at Michigan State. But he didn't sign that massive extension, which was an indication to a lot of people that he was going to take the Miami job. I mean, it's home for him and it's his alma mater.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this for about a month now,
yep.
the carousel. Okay, so, and if your phone beeps and you want to look at it while we're doing the segment, I'm good with that because okay. you may have more breaking news.
Let's say.
So just from a distance, I have to look at Oregon and think that Justin Wilcox is going to be the next in line or at least one of the main guys. What do you think now that Oregon is open?
Well, I think he'll certainly get some strong consideration. You know, he's an alum. His dad played there. His brother played there. He played there, right? He was born in Eugene and grew up in Junction City, Oregon. And I think that there is going to be a faction of the Oregon power brokers, which includes some big donors, that want stability. Whoever they hire will be their fourth coach in seven seasons. Mm. They've had a ton of turnover. Arizona is stable. By comparison, right? I mean,
that's saying something. That's saying something.
It is. And so I think there's going to be a real push for stability. Somebody who wants to be there and isn't going to get lured away by, you know, a school in the Southeast or Midwest. There'll also be some people who will say Justin Wilcox hasn't won enough at Cal. So we'll see how it plays out, but I'm sure he will be on their list.
Okay. From a distance, you know, looking at the Oregon job, it's become a stepping stone. But with Lincoln Riley, and it shouldn't be a stepping stone, with Lincoln Riley coming to USC, don't you believe that there are some people out there that are saying, I'm going to get on the front end of this Pac-12 gravy train. Their TV deal is going to expire here shortly. We are going to have exposure. The dollars are throwing out there. What couldn't I have at Oregon, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that the big thing for me is that the dynamic has completely changed for Pac-12 recruiting, right? In the last week,
yes.
USC goes out and hires Lincoln Riley,
right.
Starts getting five stars. Now Oregon is without a coach. Signing day is in 9 days.
Right.
USC has got Lincoln Riley. Oregon doesn't have a coach. There's a pretty good opportunity for a lot of other schools. So from that standpoint, I think this whole dynamic, the shifting dynamic is really interesting. I also think it's interesting about the cost and what is the impact going to be, the trickle down impact going to be on the Arizonas and the Arizona States, which are used to paying $3 or $4 million a year for their head coach. But all of a sudden the market is rising. And so the next time they got to find somebody, it's going to cost them instead of $3 or $4 million, it's going to cost them $6 or $7 million.
Yeah.
So, and it all gets back to what the Michigan State giving Mel Tucker $95 million for a guy who hasn't won anything.
I was at the Arizona State football banquet the other night, and Herm got a standing ovation. And there is a segment of boosters, big cigars, I call them, that I was talking to that are, maybe that's just what we are. Like, they're settling for 8 wins every year and not making it to big-time bowl games that with the cost of doing business. Maybe it's just not doable at Arizona State. Maybe this is as good as it gets. I've not heard that before out here, but it was a really interesting conversation. Now, of course, there's the others that are saying, oh, next year we're going to blow through Oklahoma State in the preseason. We're going to take the Pac-12. We don't play Oregon, and the rah-rah, cheer-cheer. And that's fine, too. But maybe this is the haves and have-nots starting to come together because, as you say, John, and point out rightly so, financially, who is going to step forward at Arizona State? Who is going to move forward at U of A?
It's hard if you don't have, you know, a very high level donor base and very engaged donor base, and you don't have a Phil Knight, or you don't have USC, you know, private and Stanford private school money or super, you know, long history of success. If you're not selling 70,000 season tickets, it's going to be costly. It's going to be Arizona State. You know, and there's still probably another year, I think, before SC becomes what it could be under Lincoln Riley. Arizona State missed their window. They missed it, right? I mean, these last 5 years, that division was there for the taking. USC struggling, UCLA struggling, and even Utah the last few. But it took the Utes a few years to ramp up once they got in the league to develop the roster depth they needed.
Right.
You know, so ASU, what, they won the South in 2013. And then since then, you know, they have missed a window under both Todd Graham and Herm Edwards where they really could have gotten momentum that could then help fund future investment in football.
I remember having Kyle Whittingham on around 12, 13, 14, and he would say very openly, we're just simply not big enough. We just simply don't have the horses. And he would come down here to Arizona and try and find some horses. But he was wide, wide open on that. And now he does have it going. But I'm going to go back on something you said a few weeks ago. I'm going to hold you to it. No, not really. But John Wilner said on this show that if Utah went to the Rose Bowl, that Kyle Whittingham might, that's the key word here, Utah base that comes after me on John's segment, might leave. Okay, so they're going to the Rose Bowl. What are you hearing? What do you think?
I still think that there is a chance. I mean, I don't think he's going to announce it beforehand. And I would say it's probably, I don't know if it's 50-50, but I do think that there still is a good chance that he's going to, you know, a reasonable chance that he is going to retire. I think you look at and he's spoken, he talked Friday night about it after the game, what the last year, the toll the last year has taken on him personally with the death of two players. And then getting Utah to the first ever Rose Bowl. And, you know, he's the winningest coach in school history. And he's in his 60s. And he's got, I think it's like 25 or 30 grandkids in the Salt Lake area. I just, if not now, when, right? I mean, this is, it's not going to get any better for him. And it's not going to, and it's after this incredibly exhausting 12-month ordeal they've had with the players.
Okay, before I get you out of here, the Bulls are now all set. You look around the Pac-12, and we know that Utah is in the best of the best. What's one of the Pac-12 schools you look at and you say, this is a pretty good bowl for them to go to, considering where they were, what they went through? I'd point at Washington State as that one myself. Where do you go on this?
I mean, I think for sure for Washington State, given where things stood in the middle of the season, you know, firing their coach, the fact that they're going to the Sun Bowl, absolutely. You know, they were very close to winning the North, which is crazy. You know, I think ASU's got a good bowl set up here. I mean, it's the first bowl at Allegiant Stadium, incredible facility in Las Vegas. They're playing Wisconsin. It's going to, that's a high profile bowl now. And ASU's got a real chance to say, hey, you know, here's what we are under Herm Edwards. And we can, you know, we're ready to compete here against the Big Ten heavyweight. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah. Herm had full humor on display about this game, basically saying, we really don't want to see red all over the stadium, knowing that he's going to see red all over the stadium, and say, can some of you please come up?
That's part of the reason why they wanted, the Vegas Bowl wanted ASU ahead of UCLA, is because they thought ASU, a lot of fans would make the drive or the short flight.
Yeah, yeah. And with Trainum transferring out and with White turning pro and Nagata being nicked up, if you're going to play old-fashioned Big Ten smash-mouth football against Wisconsin – this will be interesting to me to see how they are able to play. We don't know how many other players are going to opt out, but
right.
But as on paper, I would say yes, very attractive bowl for December 30th on 8:30 airtime here. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, ASU had pretty high aspirations this season. I thought rightly so. Didn't get there, but this is still a really good opportunity for them. I mean, I think, it, you know, in some ways it's a better game for the Pac-12 and for ASU than the Alamo Bowl is because Vegas, there's just something about Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not playing at Sam Boyd Stadium anymore, which makes it that much more attractive.
Yep.
All right. Your phone has been beeping while we've been doing this segment. So I'm going to finish with this. Do you have any new names around the Oregon job in the last 7 minutes that have popped up here other than Justin Wilcox
if I were going to give you one name, I'm sorry about the phone.
No, it's fine. I love it. I don't care.
I think that the guy to keep an eye on is Brian Harsin, who is current coach at Auburn, but he was a Boise. He played at Boise. He coached at Boise under Chris Peterson. He was Boise's head coach. He won, I think, 10 games many times. I think, and he wants out of Auburn. So I think he would be probably close to the top of my list.
All right. I'll let you go off that. Get back to your phone. Appreciate the time. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brad.
There's John Wilner. You can find all of his content, Wilner Hotline, on Twitter and others, especially at sports360az.com. And we're back with more after this timeout. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5 plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, as promised, we have been talking about GCU and ASU for, I don't know, about a month now that it's coming, because when you have a team under Bryce Drew, who joins us for a couple of minutes, and you see how they progressed last year, made it into the tournament, and Arizona State and GCU finally getting together and playing last year, it was a close game. It is this Thursday. So this is one of those games you look at and circle on the calendar. If you're a basketball fan, you don't even have to be a fan of GCU or ASU. This is one of those where I like to say the hoopaholics show up. The fans of basketball show up. And so Bryce Drew's nice enough on this Monday to jump on in. His team is 8-1. And you've got to be happy just to have a day off, because I was looking at your schedule like, man. And I've seen a few of the games on TV. I had Paul Coro on a couple of weeks ago, and this has been a tough stretch you've gone through. And then this week, I mean, you're not messing around. USF, Nevada, ASU, tough stretch, coach.
Really tough. You know, we just completed four games in 8 days, two on the road, you know, at Pepperdine, at Loyola Marymount. And so, yeah, we needed a day off really bad. Coach needed a day off really bad. And, you know, really tough stretch coming up, but also exciting stretch. You know, we also have a local school, Ottawa, in there, who just won at Denver at a Division I school, which is a great win for them. And, you know, anytime you get local schools together, I think it's great for the city. You know, I think it's great, like you said, for just the true basketball fans that enjoy seeing a lot of local products and local schools.
What do you like so far about your team this point of the season, coach?
You know, our guards have been really good. They're both local products. Javon Blackshear, you know, played high school here. Holland Woods, you know, played high school at Apollo here. And both of them have been really good for us. And Holland's new, came from ASU, which adds to the storyline, you know, in this game on Thursday. But both have been really good. And they've really elevated our team early in this non-conference season.
Last year, you and I spoke right after the tournament was done and the loss of big men. But looks like you're trying and finding along the way some help inside to replace your bigs from last year.
You know, one of the advantages we have this year over last year is we have a lot of depth inside. You know, we can play four different guys at the center position. We can go bigger lineups with two more natural bigs. We can also go with more of a stretch four. So we have a little more versatility this year, but the two bigs we had last year were very special.
Yep.
You know, they're both getting checks to play basketball right now overseas. So when you do that, it shows that you had a really good college career.
Bryce Drew with us for a couple of minutes. ASU, GCU, the head coach of the Lopes with us. So we look ahead towards Thursday night, just get caught up on where the program is. Tayshaun Cherry defensively is what struck me. He's getting some looks, but he was long out at ASU. Obviously, you don't lose height, but yeah. He's getting it done for you, it looks like, on that side of the floor in particular.
They're doing a really good job defensively. You know, he had six steals a couple games ago. He had three steals in our last game. And what everybody has seen for years is just the energy he brings to the court. And, you know, our Havocs absolutely love Tayshaun. And they really have a lot of energy that both of them bring to our arena. So it's been really neat to see it so far in the year and just start to see Tayshaun progress as the season continues.
As you look towards the game Thursday, how do you talk to guys like Holland and Tayshaun and say, hey, relax, we see it. We know, you know, walk the fan through how you approach a player who goes back against his former school.
You know, I think it's like any of us just in life, when you go back to your first house, or you go back, you know, to, you know, the first place you celebrated your birthday, you know, there's reminiscing. And I think that's just natural. That's human nature. You know, so I think there's going to be, you know, some of that involved with them. You know, hopefully by the time the game comes, they'll lock in and really be able to be focused at the game. But, you know, it's just natural. There's probably going to be some up and downs with their emotions, you know, being there. And, you know, we're thankful for, you know, Bobby's schedule in this game. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of schools within the same city, you know, won't play each other. And he was very welcoming to when I got the job to start a series with us. And that speaks a lot, I think, for Bobby doing that for the city.
Yeah. Me being a Southern California kid, we used to look forward to UCLA playing Pep or LMU. It was just mm-hmm. one of those deals where the city would come alive, and it's good to see. What do you see out of Bobby's team and just tape and watching?
Well, they're really good. And, you know, you look at their record and people might think, oh, well, they're not that good this year. And that's definitely not the case. You know, their last, you know, four losses have all come to possibly at-large NCAA tournament teams. And then the early loss, you know, there was a clock malfunction in that they would have won that game. So just got a huge win, you know, on the road at Oregon. And I think that really shows that they're starting to blend and starting to play better together.
What's going on in your conference this year so far? What are some early takeaways you have from the WAC? Is this look, Brad, we're 6-7 teams now because of the additions. Or are we going to see you in Vegas and it's the usual three or four that are right there at the top and the rest trying to figure it out?
You know, I think what you said, I think it'll be 5-6, you know, near the top up there. A lot are off to really good starts. You know, Utah Valley just beat BYU, who's in the top 15 in the country. I want to say they're like 7-1. Cal Baptist is like 7-1. I mean, a lot of schools, New Mexico State's already beaten Davidson, you know, beaten UTEP. And so there's a lot of good wins that our league has already.
Before I get you out of here, the one last question about the game is the number of Havocs that are going to show up on Thursday night. Do you pay attention to that sort of thing when you walk into a gym?
You know, for them, you definitely know their presence because they're so loud, which we love. A lot of them made the trip out to LA with us, and it was terrific just looking up and seeing a sea of purple, in the crowd. And, you know, depending on tickets, you know, hopefully there's still some available and we can get them and get our Havocs in Tempe on Thursday.
Yeah, the game at Pepperdine looked like a GCU convention.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great coaching in that environment.
Good stuff. I'll see you Thursday night. Appreciate the time as always.
Sounds great. Thank you. And I love your tree. You look great. Love the
working
love,
it.
Love
working
the festive
it.
Background.
You know, Coach, if I could do this year round, but it's good. Appreciate it. There's Bryce Drew with us, and we're back with more after this timeout.